Carlos Sainz takes his maiden victory in the 73rd running of the British Grand Prix at Silverstone in a thrilling race that delivered just about everything you could hope for in a Grand Prix event. Caitlin and I will discuss the race and more today on the Formula Fun Podcast. Stick around. How are you feeling about the Seb ring-a-ding-ding now that it's in its third week?
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's good. It's funny.
Yeah, I just think people Formula might, fun. If they listen, they'd be like, what is that? But now I guess they know.
Yeah, if they're repeat listeners.
Long-time fans.
How you doing?
Well, not great.
Yeah, tell us why.
Well, I threw my back out or pulled a muscle in my back today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm laying down while recording this podcast.
Caitlin is prostrate.
I am. We have a pull-out bed in our pod in the room, and yep. I'm laying on it.
Yeah, but we should do this more often.
For you.
Yeah.
The listeners.
She is. She's really sacrificing. Much like, I was looking for a segue there, but yeah,
it lost. Like cars going fast.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So lots to talk about today, but we'll try to keep it, you know, fleet-footed. What am I trying to say? We'll try to keep it. This
brief?
Is weird because I'm realizing I'm like having to turn to look to the right to look at you.
Yeah,
we're not looking
at
each
wall.
Other. Yeah,
I'm just like staring at your
very
profile.
Awkward pod situation going on today.
Yeah. So yeah, the sparks aren't going to fly as much.
Well, we'll see.
I don't know.
So far, so good. I'm feeling all right.
Yeah.
Sorry about your back.
And it is hot off the presses. The race was today.
Yeah.
So I'm still like processing it. And I haven't listened or read anything about
well,
it.
Well, here
so
you go.
This is just pure Caitlin.
Mm-hmm. Raw.
So
Caitlin
I'm
raw.
Pretty uninformed.
Kind of like Max raw.
Yeah. It's yeah. We, it's
well,
weird
I'll inform
how we
you.
Have the same branding.
It's so weird. But you were first. So here's something you should know about. Okay, so everybody's freaking out because the FIA has discovered that this was all pre-race happenings. The FIA has discovered that two teams in particular, Ferrari and Red Bull, and maybe more, but I know at least those two, have floors, which are exactly what they sound like, the bottom part of the car, the underneath part of the car, that flex too much.
Okay.
Which, unbelievably too much is like 4 millimeters. Like they're allowed.
How do they even measure that?
Actually, I can kind of tell you how they measure that because there's I know it doesn't really matter, but it's amazing because for as sophisticated as these Formula One cars are, you know, they're the most sophisticated pieces of motorsport technology on Earth. But to police the ride height and the flexing of the floor, they just have a straight up wooden board on the bottom of them. And that wooden board can't scrape the ground so much that it loses, you know, like they measure the wooden board, they're like it's 100
scrapes the ground.
Yeah, sometimes it's not supposed to, but it will.
I'm
you know as
picturing
the
picturing like yeah when like cars have like pieces of their flooring and you're like they're driving on the road and you're like oh god
someone's... oh you can hear it on the onboards like you can hear the cars hitting the ground. I mean that's what
I'm
Lewis
sure.
was on about his back was that the car was boom, 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 literally hitting the ground.
Uh-huh.
The bouncing we've been talking about on the pod. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, that's not supposed to be happening.
No, it's not. But so anyway, long story short, is those planks. They're called planks.
They're literally planks.
Yeah, they are. Wooden planks are measured. Their width is measured before the race and after the race. And if they have worn away too much, then it's illegal.
Oh, that's pretty clever.
Yeah. So a very simple solution to a difficult problem.
And Red Bull and Ferraris were wearing away too much.
Perhaps that's what was happening. There's something to do with the plank. The measurement of the plank is involved and da-da-da-da-da, whatever. It's complicated. But anyway, so the plank is part of the way you can tell that the floors are flexing too much. They're allowed to flex 2 millimeters, and these cars are flexing like 5 millimeters.
Okay.
And so anyway... Long story short,
cheating or is it giant?
Well, yes, that's the thing, is that theoretically this would be illegal. Like, they would be doing this on purpose because it's supposed to prevent the porpoising. It's supposed to help with the porpoising.
Okay.
And so Mercedes, Toto Wolff said he was shocked.
Well, Toto has to say stuff like that.
That this came out because
he spat out his pumpernickel.
Right. Day. Nearly choked on his pumpernickel.
Yeah.
On his soft boiled egg. German breakfast. So Mercedes is like, we followed the rules and our car is porpoising really bad and bouncing all over the place. And Red Bull and Ferrari are cheating. And they're like, oh, we're not porpoising. It's no big deal. Whoa. And then it turns out that maybe it's because they've been cheating.
Oh, okay.
And so that's why everybody's like,
yeah, I still don't really care. I mean,
the torches are lit and the pitchforks are out.
Yeah. They were never put away.
No, they have not
since last season. Or forever?
No, I don't think it's always been like this. I don't know. I mean, I've been watching since like 2010, 2009. And I just don't remember like one fan group just despising another fan group so much.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because social media wasn't a thing back then.
Yeah, it polarizes. It kind of facilitates that kind of sentiment.
Absolutely, social media is part of the problem, but also just no one has ever had a fandom like Max has, and I think that pisses people off. Like when people show up to races and they're like, yeah, I'm here for Max, woo, and they fill the grandstands and everything. It's like, oh, you roll your eyes a little bit, but we're getting off track. So
yes,
the flexi floor thing was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was news. That was pretty much like the only kind of like non-race news of the week, I guess. Unless I'm just forgetting something. So on to the race. You ready to talk about Silverstone?
What a race.
I know. Ready? Hold on. I got a bumper.
Oh.
Oh, that wasn't... That didn't work.
Oh, no. What was it supposed to be? You do it with your mouth.
Why aren't my bumpers working? Try again.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right.
That
wasn't planned, by the way.
What?
That bumper. I just like, hey, let's throw that in there.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. We can... We'll revisit that, yeah.
But we also kind of threw this pod together in, like, 5 minutes, and we're like, let's record
a
pod.
You don't suppose this.
I mean, it's okay. It's going to be great.
Yeah, we're keeping it real.
Yeah. Okay, so, qualifying Silverstone, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, how this is the first time we've raced in like 6 weeks at an actual racetrack. All the other races have been streets that have been converted. Yeah, I believe so. I could look at the... Yeah. So you had Canada, which is a street race. Baku, street race. Monaco, street race. Spain is not. But it also sucks as a track. So Miami, street race. So 1, 2, 3, 4 out of the last 5 races have been street tracks.
Yeah. So we're back on
5 track. Out of the last 7. 7 out of the last 9 have been street tracks.
Okay.
And so the only ones that have not been have been Australia. No, Australia is. Have been Imola, which is a classic track but bad for overtaking. Spain, which is just overall really bad for racing. and today Silverstone, which is an awesome track. Silverstone mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. an awesome track, and that was kind of like why I was bringing it up, because Silverstone's got everything. It's got famous corners and high speed corners and awesome overtaking opportunities, and it's got a great atmosphere, and it's got the tradition and the mm-hmm. whatever other word I'm looking for that's kind of synonymous with tradition.
Fan culture.
Yeah, culture, all that stuff. So how did you feel about Silverstone today?
I mean, it was great. We had a great race.
Yeah, it was a really good race.
Thrilling. And I mean, I guess that's got to be in part due to the track.
I think a lot of people would say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Would agree with you, and attribute is the word I was going to say yeah. attribute some of the excitement to the fact that, I mean, the racetrack is designed to facilitate good racing, you know.
That's always nice in a track, I'd say.
Instead of just like, hey, these streets connect, let's race right. around them.
You know? Also, you know, we have a handful of British drivers, and it's yeah. like a British sport, so it's just of course we need to have a race in jolly old England.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm trying to think of like a moniker for England. What are they?
Albion.
Yeah. Great Britain.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a great race. We can rate the race at the end, but I just can say right now that it's one of the best races I've ever seen, probably, at least mm-hmm. in the last couple of years. I mean, there was very, very rarely in Formula One do you have the type of excitement that we have. We'll get to we'll try to go a little chronologically here. So qualifying, it rained during qualifying. Mm-hmm. So there was wet qualifying. Whenever there's wet qualifying, which we've had now two races in a row. Mm-hmm. Lots of shenanigans can happen again.
Latifi ends.
Yeah, exactly. So when it rains in qualifying, it's crazy because the track is constantly evolving, in air quotes, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. So drying or getting wetter.
And so the lap times are all over the place, mm-hmm. right? So instead of like a normal qualifying where you're like shaving a hundredth or a thousandth or a tenth off and you're slowly building up time and trying to put in your best lap, this is the type of qualifying in the wet where it could be like, bam, all of a sudden one car is 2 seconds faster or 1.5 seconds faster just because the track evolves that quick over the course of a lap. Yeah. Anyway, so what that does is contribute to some shenanigans and make it very unpredictable. Driver skill is a lot more important in the rain, obviously. So then you get that as a...
I guess, but I feel like a lot of it is just shenanigans.
Well, it's shenanigans in terms of timing and like...
Yeah.
In terms of like when you're out on track.
It's always kind of like that. It's like timing, like flags, red flags.
Rain exacerbates that for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But driver skill is so much more important in the rain because one thing that's going on when it's dry, it's almost like everybody's trying to do the same thing. They're just hitting the same braking point, hitting the same accelerating point, turn in point, all that. You know, there's mm-hmm, like, it's mm-hmm. like a known quantity. Like Latifi is doing the same thing that Charles Leclerc is. He's just in a slower car, but they're braking at the same point. You know, they're basically doing the same thing, whatever. But in the wet, you are hunting for the dry line and you're hunting for the grip, and you can't just drive on the racing line and mm-hmm. just know where to be all the time. So it's there's a lot that goes into driving in the rain that involves the driver's knowledge and ability that isn't present when it's dry. So that's exciting too.
So what were some of the surprises of qualifying?
Yeah, well, Latifi for sure. Latifi ended up 10th, which is insane. And I wanted to talk to you about that because like Latifi's so bad that I don't think I've heard a single person actually be like, what a great job by Latifi. It was more just like, how lucky for Latifi, you know?
Well, yeah, because, like, it was luck.
It was pure luck. Like,
but he did okay in the race, too. But so many people didn't finish.
Yeah, there's like 5 people that didn't finish. So
maybe that's part of it.
And what we mean by luck when we say Latifi got lucky is that he was just on the track at the right time, put in a lap when it was nice and dry, and his lap happened to be fast enough, yeah,
good enough to get him
into 10th place. Q3.
10th place, yeah. Yeah.
So that was crazy for Latifi.
But then once he was in Q3, it was like 40. He was like 20 seconds behind everyone else.
Yeah, he was truly exposed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was like in Q3 with all the fast guys. And he was like, oh, please don't hit me.
Yeah, I've got my flashers on. Just go around.
Yeah, exactly. Some other exciting. Zhou Guanyu qualified 9th. I mean, he's done surprisingly well. He's the only rookie this year. So you can't really be like, what? He's the rookie of the year. But for a rookie, I've been pleased with how, or not pleased, I don't have any skin in the game, but you know, it's like he's done.
It's fun to watch.
Well,
a
he's
done
well.
Do well. Yeah,
I mean, he's done almost better than
really
Botas.
Noticed him, but
if you went back and like, well, of course, if you went back and rewatched the race with the purposes of trying to notice him, you would notice him.
I would succeed.
Yeah, but yeah, he's done well.
Well, because Botas has been doing well, or right. He was at first, and now he's kind of not, or I haven't. So anyway, yeah,
well, yeah, the Alfa Romeos in general have kind of surprised with how well they've done, and Zhou Guanyu has matched or beaten Botas most weeks.
I haven't even like seen any interviews by him or anything. Like, I'd be interested to like hear from him.
I've seen one, but you would have to really like, it was like on F1 TV post race show, etc. You would have to like have a subscription to F1 TV and then watch the like post race show that probably like no one watches, you know. It's like, anyway, so yeah, he's not exactly out there.
Yeah,
he speaks English pretty well. He's got a pretty heavy like Chinese accent, but his English is good.
Yeah,
you know,
most of them,
yeah,
the drivers speak English well.
It's the language of the paddock, they say,
right? So, you know, they've all been in that world long enough,
right? Unless you race at Ferrari, then you have to learn Italian, apparently.
Yeah, they're special.
They are special. We'll talk about that today, too. I guess another part of qualifying that it's kind of like, who cares? Because the only reason I care about this even a little bit is because I love Sebastian. The Aston Martins have qualified extremely poorly 2 times in a row when it's been wet. And it's been like kind of an embarrassment that they've been like 18th.
Yeah, they were like
last. Yeah, they were like dead last in Canada and dead last again.
That's not good.
And it's just kind of like they have a semi, like not a terrible car. Their car is worse than they want it to be, but it's definitely not last place.
I remember when Lance like qualified like on pole in the rain in that qualifying.
Yeah, I do, sadly.
And here we are.
I know. And so that was a story too. Is that apparently whenever it rains, the Aston Martins are just like nowhere to be found. So that's a story. And then Carlos got his first ever pole.
Oh, yeah, Carlos.
So that's
pole.
A story too.
Yeah.
So Carlos Sainz.
Right.
On pole position. That sounded more like Botas.
Yeah, you got a little away from you
got
there.
Got a little finish. Got a little finish there.
Gotta tighten it up.
Carlos. Carlos said, Ginny Gao, I know I told you this already, but it's funny, I'll repeat it, was like, so Carlos, are you going, Carlos, how British people say Carlos.
Yeah.
Are you going to, you know, he's like, she's assuming that he'd be all nervous about starting on pole and everything. I thought it was really cold-blooded of Carlos. She was like, so Carlos, going to get any sleep tonight? And he goes, of course. Or he's just like super cool. He's just like, yeah. Oh yes, of course. I sleep well, no matter what.
Yeah, he also just kind of strikes me as like a big time, like life natural kind of guy.
I don't know what that means.
So it's just like someone who just like, yeah, just sleeps great at night, doesn't have anxiety, you know, it's just
a life
simple,
natural.
You know, just like when they're sitting,
doesn't
they're just
take
like screensaver
meds.
Mode. Yeah, just like. He's like another
like kind of fit, but doesn't
nice
need to
day.
Work out.
Yeah, exactly.
You
just
know?
Like he's just coasting. Like I think he sleeps like a baby every night.
Yeah, he probably does.
Because he's just like, why wouldn't
I'm Carlos Sainz.
Yeah.
I sleep well.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Why do you not sleep? Just
okay,
close your eyes, go to
you
sleep.
Sound like a poo from.
You really
gotta.
I'll tighten it
work
up.
Work on that.
I'll tighten
okay.
it up. Okay, so that's it for qualifying. Should we move on?
Yep. I like this one.
Okay, the idea is that the bumper plays and then you talk.
Well, going forward, I'll do that.
Okay.
We're kind of still like launching the bumper
thing is still kind of fresh. The Halo saved two people's lives today. I wanted to talk to you about the Halo. Yeah, wow. And
aptly named.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. So the first, if you haven't seen this, if you're listening to this, if there is a single person in the world listening to this and you haven't seen the Formula 2, Roy Nissany Formula 2 2022 British Grand Prix, just Google that. Or Google Nissany British Grand Prix Halo. And look at this clip. The clip I showed you earlier.
It's insane.
It is freaking insane. Okay, so basically what happens, I'll try to give you a visualization of it as best I can verbally. A car goes off track and continues to drive even though he's off track, which is extremely improper. Let's be clear about that.
Oh,
when you go off track, when you... He kept his foot in, as the saying goes.
Okay.
So when you lose control of your car and you go off track, it is proper etiquette mm-hmm. to brake and safely rejoin the track. In fact, you can get a penalty like Sebastian did in Canada in 2019 for not safely rejoining the track.
Yeah, that was...
Whether or not he did is not the point of the podcast right now, but whatever. And that was like very minor, right? In Canada 2019. Mm-hmm, so you get the idea. If you go off track, it is the onus is on you to rejoin safely. Okay. What this person did, whoever it was, and I'd have to go back and look at it again. And I don't know because I don't know the Formula 2 drivers that well, but this person went off the track and just kept his foot planted. And so he was driving about the same speed as the cars to his right that were on the track, but he was just off-roading it.
Didn't it flip?
Well, I'm getting to that in a second. Off the track. He was just off-roading it off the track to the left. Now, he was going a little bit slower than the cars on the track because they were on the track and he was off the track. The cars on the track then turned sharply to the left, which put them, if you can imagine this, in a perpendicular angle to his car's direction. So he's off track going in a straight line. He cannot turn his car because he's driving through the dirt and the grass. The other cars take a left-hand turn, and so now they are perpendicular to this man's car. He then, still going basically full speed, comes back onto the track, and when he does so, hits a curb.
Yeah, just a regular old curb.
And his car goes flying in the air and smashes into another car. So this dude's car just goes flying like a spear, which is a very appropriate way to describe what happens, into the dude's head. Another car's...
It hits another car. Flips.
No, it hits the curb and just launches the air like off a ramp.
It
and
gets
then just
a lot
the,
of air I know, for just it, hitting a curb.
It was a sausage curb.
Yeah,
it was one of those big bumpy curbs.
Yeah,
I know.
Anyway,
yeah,
and it launches and it just like lands or like slides over another car. It looks
like
Fast
like
and the Furious.
I know. It was like if you were to use a Formula 2 car in this case as a weapon, this is how you would do it. You would like launch it off of a ramp and it would go nose first into someone's head.
Yeah. So
which is exactly what happened.
His head is intact because
he's alive because of the Halo. And if there were no Halo, like he not only would be dead, but his head would have just been like gloriously ripped from his body.
Oh my god, I don't know if that's
the right word for
the
it. Gloriously ripped from his body.
Verb I would have used.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. This was the most egregious example of the Halo saving someone's life. Again, not sure that's the right word there, but you know
yeah,
what I mean.
Yeah, it is a prime example of the.
Like a car flying into another car, perpendicular, full speed, head height. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that was one thing that happened in the Formula 2 race. And then in the Formula 1 race,
let's
I guess this just kind of...
The beginning
of the race. So a lot of cars kind of bunched up near the midfield got a bad start.
Yeah, lights out and away they went.
Lights out and away they went. And several cars just kind of got away slowly.
Yeah.
And so that just meant that there was lots, some cars passing on the inside, other cars passing on the outside. And essentially what you had, and I've watched this in the replay several times to make sure I like was clear about what happened, is you had like between positions like 7 and 12, you had everybody get kind of bunched up. And Gasly, who started like 11th or something, got a good start, but in front of him, Guan Yu Zhou and George Russell got bad starts. And so Gasly sees an opportunity to go in between those two cars. And as he's going for that gap in between George Russell on the right, Guan Yu Zhou on the left, the gap closes just because George's car kind of drifts to the left. And so there's no longer space for Gasly. Gasly's front right tire hits George's left rear tire and sends George directly sideways into Guan Yu Zhou. At this point, George's car goes underneath Guan Yu Zhou's car in such a way that it flips his car.
Yeah.
Which is pretty rare.
Gets flipped.
Guan Yu Zhou's car gets flipped. And I think I heard someone say that at this point, like, they're going something like 150 or 160 miles an hour.
160, yeah. Even, which is crazy because it was the very beginning of the race.
Like, yeah, they go really fast. Speed
that quickly.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It's like the first turn this is happening.
And they're already going 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, so this guy is just like
so he's sliding on his head.
Pavement on his
spinning.
Head.
Spinning. His car's spinning and sliding on his head. Again, if there was no halo, he would be on his head.
Just pulverized.
Right. But there is a halo, so he's sliding on the halo. And you can see pictures of this and video of this. The halo is like creating sparks sliding on the ground. Spinning, sliding on the ground, goes into the gravel, and then the gravel is good for racing because it slows cars down, but it's bad for wrecking because it flips cars. And so his car was already flipped, but when it hits the gravel, you can imagine it kind of digs into the gravel and then gets flipped again.
Yeah.
And so then his car hits the gravel and starts tumbling through the gravel, then hits the tire barrier and goes flying over the tire barrier and smashes into the catch fence that is preventing like it from going flying into the crowd.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there were people standing. Yeah,
the marshals had to be like, oh shit, and like get out of the way.
Yeah, someone could have gotten injured for sure.
Yeah, and so spinning on the halo into the gravel, tumbling through the gravel, hits the tire barrier, up over the tire barrier, flies into the catch fence, and then comes down and is wedged and stuck between the tire barrier and the catch fence. And and even then, it's really hard to get Guan Yu Zhou out of the car because he's stuck.
Yeah, so, you know, you had that beginning of the race where you're like, oh, hope everything's okay.
Yeah, you're literally like, I hope like the guy's not dead.
Replays and stuff, like you're like, don't know what happened. And yeah, that's always my least favorite part of Formula One.
I know, and like, so
oh gosh,
twice in 2 years now, or 3 years, I guess it's been since 2 years, it's been since Grosjean's wreck, but you know, it's we've had instances where you legitimately are like sitting there waiting during a red flag. Like, I hope this guy survives.
Yeah. It took him a while to extract him. But when they did, you know, he went to hospital, got checked out. He seems to be okay.
He is okay. And in fact, the strange thing about, and again, this is a testament to how safe the halo makes these cars and how safe these cars are in general, which is kind of crazy to say that a Formula One car is safe, but considering what it does and the forces that it undergoes during a crash, but they are remarkably safe. Alex Albon, who was involved in the wreck, was more injured.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he like had to go to the hospital for actual checks and like stayed in the hospital and like tweeted from the hospital bed like, I'm okay, guys. Aww, like, you know.
I'm glad he's...
What happened to him was like, I think he kind of checked up behind the wreck, and Sebastian smashed into the back of him and sent him headfirst into the concrete wall that is directly to their right.
Yeah, so much depends on these, like, tiny little different circumstances of the crash. Like, you know, millimeters make such a big difference.
Right.
He had his kitty cat helmet on.
Yeah, he tweeted that his pets were okay.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, Albin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you're an Albin fan.
I guess I'm an Albin fan now.
Yeah. I guess he's got kind of that, like, cute edge.
He's sweet.
He's got kind of a soft edge.
What do you mean? Like, as a person?
And he's like, you wouldn't describe, like, you wouldn't describe, like, who's the driver? Like, who am I? Like, Pierre, you wouldn't be like, he's cute. You know, he's got, like, a cutesy side.
Yeah, but Albin's all
fluff.
Fluffy, yeah, he's not intimidating at all.
No, he's not. His mom,
he has, like,
though,
a baby face. What about his mom?
Remember, she's a criminal.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you did. They talk about it on For Formula One's Sake.
What?
His mom committed, like, some kind of white-collar crime and, like, actually spent hard time in the slammer.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so. Albin might be soft, but his mom has probably shanked somebody.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. So that was the beginning of the race, and it was really, really insane.
Yeah.
Because, like, we kind of described, there was red flag, and you spent a good deal of time kind of wondering, like, geez, I hope he's okay. They weren't showing the replay, all that crazy stuff. Then they finally announced that he was okay, and everyone cheered, and that was, you know, good. So that leads us back to the restart of the race. Now, they restarted, even though Max had taken the lead from Carlos, they restarted in the original position.
Why did they do that?
I'll tell you. Good question. Because, and I just learned this. I didn't, like, know this. I'm not like, look how much I know about Formula One, right? Because there's a rule, a very clearly written rule, that if the cars do not go past the second safety car line, which is a thing, there's a first safety car line and a second safety car line, like, then they restart from the original position. If there's a red flag before before a certain point on track, they just restart from the original position because it's not, like, doesn't qualify as a lap or whatever.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's that. And so they restarted from the original position, and this is where the race really, like, takes off in earnest.
Yeah,
because obviously, like, at this point, it's been, like, an hour, and the only thing that's happened is, like, someone almost died, and it's been crazy.
There's been, like, no actual race yet.
Right. They made it, like, one corner.
Yeah.
So, in the restart, super aggressive restart from Sainz, where he got a good start. Verstappen to his right in second place also got a good start, and Sainz just pinched him way over to the right side of the track and just gave him, like, no space. And then there was great racing through the first couple of corners. In turn four, Leclerc was like, I'm coming through, and smashed his car into Perez's car.
Oh, he smashed his car into, okay.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he injured his car.
And Perez's car, and Perez had to pit.
Yeah, he did.
And fell all the way back to, like, 16th.
He got the meatball flag.
He did. You want to explain what the
Charles
meatball flag is?
It means, like, hey, your shit's messed up. You need to go to the pit.
And fix it, because you're dangerous.
You're, like, leaking oil everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That might be the literal example.
Or carbon.
Carbon fiber, right. Yeah, and it was really, like, I'm surprised Leclerc didn't get more shtick or, like, a penalty or something for this move, because he really did just kind of send it up, not even send it in, like, a positive way. He just kind of, like, shoved his way up the inside and, like, smashed into Perez's car and hurt
both
their cars.
Rubens racing.
Rubens racing. That's according to, who said that today? Somebody said
that. One of the announcers.
Yeah, Brundle.
And,
I think it was
but
Martin Brundle.
He was
Brundle.
Like, rubbing is racing.
I know, yeah, it was Martin Brundle. He was like, and a little bit of rubbing is racing. Yeah, that's not how you say it.
Rubbing's racing.
That reminds me, I was going to say this when we talked about Albin's crash. Those little crashes where it doesn't look like much, but the front of the car I mean, of course, they're going so fast, and he hits a concrete barrier. And when I heard he had to go to the hospital, and I was like, oh, that didn't look very bad, but you never really know how bad it is. It reminded me a lot of Dale Earnhardt and how he died. I'm assuming you know who Dale Earnhardt is, and the fact that he was like probably the most legendary American race car driver of all time, multiple time NASCAR champion, all that. I remember watching that race that he died
in. You watched the race that he died in?
Yeah. And
like live?
I mean, it's been so long, I don't remember if I actually watched it live, but I followed NASCAR then, and I remember that very well. And his wreck was just, he just lost control of his car and just kind of booped into the, you know, it didn't look like, it, it wasn't the kind of wreck where you were like, holy crap, this guy's like, you know, like, oh my God, he might be dead. Like, oh, I gotta, you know, it was just, he just was down on the low side of the track, you know, in ovals, how they're banked. He was like down on the low side of the track, like lost control of his car. All this momentum took him to the top of the track. And then he just kind of hit at like a 45 degree angle in the top of the track. Like his wheels never left the ground. He didn't tumble. He didn't fly. He didn't flip. He didn't catch on fire. None of that. He just boink into the concrete barrier, just like Albin did. And he died.
Like immediately?
I don't know about immediately, but like, yeah, like, I mean, it killed him. Like, and here's another little racing tidbit. You see when the drivers get out of the car, they have that little, like, it looks like a neck brace on, and it clips to their helmet. That's called a Hans device, H-A-N-S. It stands for head and neck safety device.
It, like, stabilizes.
It keeps their head from snapping forward.
Oh, that's good.
That was invented because of the Dale Earnhardt wreck. They didn't used to have those. And they determined that, like, what killed him was just the really fast stopping of his momentum.
Wow.
He just snapped his head forward and died.
This is macabre.
Yeah. Anyway. So that reminded me when I heard, like, I saw Albin just go boop and he just hits the wall, like, really quickly. And it doesn't look like, of course, it, like, compared to what happened to Guan Yu Zhou.
A quick stop is a more G-force stop, I guess.
Exactly.
So.
There's and you're hitting a concrete wall, not like a net fence.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right.
So there's no
sense.
Give.
Yeah.
But anyway, so knowing all of that, I was like, yeah, I'm actually kind of not surprised that Albin was the one who ended up in a hospital bed and not. Anyway, but that's surprising.
Anyway,
so blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So Leclerc takes a punt, as the British people say, damages both of their cars. Sainz leads the race. Verstappen is chasing him. And then Sainz made a mistake. In Beckett's, Maggots and Beckett's, and Sainz was like, wah, and lost the car, and Verstappen passed him.
Yep.
And I was interested in that because, as a sim racer, you know, I have so much experience. The everybody take a drink.
Yeah, the weekly sim race corner.
As a sim racer, and I'm joking, obviously, because this doesn't, you cannot be a sim racer and still understand what I'm about to say. But I thought it said a lot about Sainz and how it kind of is like, there's discussion about, like, is Sainz as good as Leclerc and how good actually is Sainz and can Sainz win a race from the front? And, like, I thought that was the moment where we all saw, like, it appeared as though he couldn't handle the pressure, because when Max freaking Verstappen is chasing you on a racetrack and he's right behind you, like, that's what happens. I think that's a lot of, that's something that maybe people who are maybe newer to the sport or don't understand as much about racing, not in a bad way, but just having pressure put on you from behind like that can force errors.
Right.
When you're like, oh my gosh, he's about to get, and it appears as though all you have to do from the front is just drive down the track. But when someone is right behind you, it's really easy to make a mistake.
No way. Yeah. Mm-mm.
Super scary. Max Verstappen chasing you in a car. You're like, yeah, I'm going to make a mistake. You'd be like looking in your mirrors the whole time. Like, oh God. And then
well,
you're
all
miss.
Like, who's behind me? How fast are they going? Like what? I mean, they're doing a lot.
Right.
Know? They're not
right.
just.
Yeah, so at that moment I was like, Sainz lost it. He couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle the heat. And Verstappen passed him. So what happens after that? Sainz makes a mistake. Verstappen chasing. Oh yeah. Then Verstappen's car pooped out.
Yeah, he drove. He messed up.
No, he actually did. I know what you're thinking. He went wide, and he thought he had a puncture and all that. But I read after the race that it was actually he ran over a bit of an AlphaTauri car, and it was
on track.
on track. It was okay. Stuck.
I thought I thought he ran over a bit of it, but the bit was like when he picked it up when it went up wide.
I don't think so. Because they brushed it off. I don't think. Track. Maybe.
That's what the announcer said.
Okay, maybe you're right.
But who knows? I mean, yeah, more could have come out later. I don't know.
Either way, like Verstappen is leading the race and then suddenly is going really slow. So Verstappen overtakes Sainz and then all of a sudden he's like, something wrong with my car. I've got a puncture, blah, 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 blah. Turns out he had a piece of an AlphaTauri stuck in his car, which makes your car go much slower, which speaks to like how sophisticated the downforce is in these cars, that you can have like one little piece of carbon fiber stuck in your floor and all of a sudden your car is like 20 miles per hour slower or whatever.
Right. So, well, he did have a puncture there too, didn't he?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just aerodynamic loss.
We're not talking about Leclerc and Hamilton at all.
We're getting there. We're getting there right now. So at this point, it is Sainz first, then Leclerc second, and Hamilton third. Okay, Verstappen had pitted and fallen all the way back to like sixth. We also didn't
talk about George Russell's heroics.
Oh my God, you're so right. I made a note about that. Where did my note go? Hero George, it's right here. Okay, so pause everything. Pause everything.
We gotta go back.
Rewind.
Just okay.
Guan Yu Zhou goes flipping into the fence and all that. We already talked about that. George Russell, do you want to explain what happens?
Yeah, well, go ahead. George, you know, was kind of right there with him going off the track, and you know,
George was the one that flipped his car and everything.
Right, George was the one that flipped Zhou's car, but George, you know, was fine. His car went off track, but he was fine, and he stops his car and gets out and sprints like Baywatch style.
Perfect.
Towards Zhou's car, ready to use his little spindly arms.
Right.
As all of his
125 pounds.
To rip Zhou out and save his life.
Okay, so here's my take.
And he just stands there awkwardly as like the marshals.
Yeah, like, there's like footage of him standing on the tire barrier and the marshals are actually doing their job helping Guan Yu Zhou. And George Russell is like waving his arms and like, someone like, come help you over there. Yeah, exactly. And like, okay. George Russell has a reputation for being very PR-y. Being very
PR,
like,
yeah, PR,
public relations, PR. Yes. Being very like, I say the right thing, I do the right thing. I'm trying, which is fine, but he's like, I'm always trying to look good. I'm always trying to say the right thing and look good and be shiny, perfect, little polished George. That is his reputation.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your interpretation of like intent.
I have never heard anyone who has a different opinion of George Russell.
Like he's just like, I'm just trying to do what I think is right, which is like say nice things and be upstanding and you know whatever. It just like is it like I'm trying to be perfect or I'm just like this is just how those raised. I don't know.
You
know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't necessarily mean it's even negative. I just mean that's just how he is. You know, he's like he's not real. He's just trying to be perfect George all the time and like
gorgeous
toe
George.
The company line and yeah, gorgeous George and just be this perfect little angel shining example of like, I don't know. Anyway, so everybody on Twitter and us, we shouldn't talk about Twitter. That's so stupid. But everybody, you know, obviously the gut reaction is like, oh, George is such a hero and what an amazing thing. What a selfless act to get out of the car and go help. And my immediate reaction was like, what in the world is he going to do? He was trying to look good. He was just trying to look good.
It's dangerous.
It's super dangerous.
And it messed up his race.
And it ruined his race because once you get out of your car and you stop your car, you can't restart your car. So he ruined his race for Mercedes. He cost Mercedes points.
Also, this is the same guy that got out of his car to like hit another driver.
Oh yeah, like, he wasn't trying to be perfectly polished then, that's for sure.
Yeah, but he's had moments.
But I mean, seriously, and this is like very, very cynical. I appreciate that this is extremely cynical, but I genuinely think that in George's mind, even if it was in his subconscious id or whatever, like there was a point in his brain where his neurons were firing and he was like, I should get out and run over there because it would look really good. for my reputation.
We'll never know.
We're never going to know his heart. We're never going to know his mind. But I feel like I know his heart and his mind perfectly well. And
George, come on the show.
Defend yourself, George, coward.
Stop. No, just we'll give you a platform here.
Yeah, because that's what he needs.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so I was genuinely like,
I'll be nice to you, George.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. That's all. I just thought it was like, are you going to do? What are you going to do? Like, first of all, it's not your job. There's hundreds of people at the track whose job it is to help Guan Yuzhou in that situation. It is not your job. In fact, as a person, me, who is wilderness first aid certified, okay, you can make the situation worse going and sticking your nose in the situation.
I mean,
the
very first thing you do, wilderness certified, but wilderness like first aid I know certified. That yeah, getting out of your car during a race where there's cars flying around everywhere.
Well, their
is a
cars
bad
weren't
idea.
Flying around at that point. Really, they had slowed basically to a stop. But running over there and being like, "Are you okay?" and you're not medically trained or anything, he could have killed him. Like, literally, if his neck was hurt and you start trying to pull him out of the car.
I don't think he was trying to do that.
No, he wasn't. He was trying to look good for the cameras. He wasn't even trying to check on him. He was trying to look good for the cameras.
Yeah.
But seriously, like, that's a legit thing. Like, if you are not medically trained and it is not your job to help someone in an emergency situation, you should stay away.
Yeah.
Take
it from your car.
Stay away. Don't, you know.
I could see, like, staying in your car and, like, not just driving away. Like, just waiting to be like, you know.
Yeah.
And like going on the radio and being like,
is he okay?
Yeah, but then like drive away.
Run over there and be like, help him.
Yeah, it was silly him like waving people over. It's like, yeah, they're coming.
They're good. They know. It's their job. They've been through like weeks and weeks of training.
Yeah.
To how to do this. They have like orange vests on and helmets and like that's their freaking job. They're good, George. Thanks a lot, George, for your guidance in this situation. We're all so lucky.
Okay.
That all you were there. What? I mean, just like what would we have done if George hadn't have been there? Guan Yuzhou would have died. Okay, I'm done.
Anyway.
So back to the race. So at this point,
like Hamilton's
Sainz is in first, Leclerc's in second, and Hamilton is like putting in fastest laps.
Mm-hmm.
And so Leclerc, who's in second behind Sainz, is faster than Sainz and is like, bitch, get Sainz out of the way to his team. Because if we don't get Sainz out of the way, Hamilton is going to overcut us. Hamilton's gonna beat us in this race. And there was I made a note here of literally there was some one point on the radio, poor Charles, he's like, he comes over the radio and he's just like, what do I have to do to get Carlos out of the way? You know, he had like pleaded with him and literally used the words, what do I have to do? And Matteo Bonato or whatever, whoever comes on the radio just goes, we'll get back to you. That was, again, like a poo for some reason. I'm just stuck. I'm stuck. But that's okay. But they're like, we'll get back to you. And it's like, oh, my God. Like, don't you have meetings?
Ferrari
don't you, like, plan
just
ahead?
Sitting there like, oh.
Like, oh, God, we're leading the race. What do we do? Quick, where are my notes? Oh, who's in charge?
Yeah, I know. Like, I wrote it on my palm, but my palm got sweaty.
I'm nervous. I can't read. Yeah. So.
My glitter gel pen is bleeding everywhere.
Yeah, they're like. Quick, where? Who's like you, the strategist? I'm the strategist, like that kind of thing.
It's, like, it's so tragic.
Yeah,
because I'm still holding on to like threads of like Leclerc's
should
championship
be the champion.
Fight, and it's just been hard. It's been hard
being
and,
a Leclerc fan.
Yes, and just because I just feel so bad for him. I mean, he's done some things to mess up his thing, but so has his team. They've just really let him down, and like, how do you not just feel so bitter about that?
It would be really tough, and I know you are speaking to the situation currently, like, you're more of a Leclerc fan than a Ferrari fan, I guess.
Yeah,
is that
absolutely,
correct?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know how you could be a Ferrari fan. I don't like hate Ferrari for the reasons like a lot of people hate Ferrari, like they're the big bad evil empire.
I'm like neutral,
but it's like,
toward Ferrari, but I don't feel warm and fuzzy about Ferrari.
Yeah, I'm just
I like
the horsey
you're like,
those,
crest.
Those are my boys. They're,
it's a good crest.
Oh, great livery. Logo. Great logo. Yeah. Great tradition, history, all that. Like, they're great. It's awesome. Ferrari, cool. Very cool.
But I don't really, yeah, I mean.
Like, they're just bad at, like they build a fast race car and then they like don't know what to do with it.
As we saw today.
Right.
Well, but anyway.
So Leclerc is driving behind Sainz and he's like, please let me go in front of Sainz because Hamilton is catching us and
they kept being like, hey Sainz, if you can do like 1.32.
That's what I was just about to say.
Then you're good.
They kept giving him like ultimatums and he was like, okay, I'll try. And they were like, all right, you have 2 laps to try.
Yeah.
And then, and Martin Brundle the whole time is like, this is stupid. They should just switch him.
Right. You know?
Yeah. So finally they do pit. The Ferraris take just normal green flag pit stops.
Yeah.
First Sainz, and then a few laps later Leclerc. And at that point Hamilton stays out and tries to pull the overcut where he's putting in fast lap after fast lap, leading the British Grand Prix, which everyone was really excited about. It was like, yeah, we're chuffed. Cheerio, right? And he needed a 19-second, 20-second lead to pull off the overcut, and he couldn't quite stretch it. He was leading by like 17, 18 seconds maximum. And so Leclerc and Sainz come back out of the pits, and they're again ahead of Hamilton. Okay. So then basically I made a couple notes here. Norris and Alonso were in fourth and fifth. I thought that was like impressive for them. Like, so good, pretty good, whatever. Good job for Norris.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because it's a British Grand Prix and, you know, like McLaren hasn't been doing very well.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have no idea what happened to Ricciardo.
Ricciardo did awfully.
Yeah.
He was like last. He was like, I don't remember who he was like battling with, but it was like last. Battling for like last.
Poor guy. I just genuinely feel bad for him.
Of course. I know. It's like, I get like emotional whiplash with him because it's just like, oh, he's a Formula One driver, whatever. And like,
but you know he like wants so badly to do well.
And sometimes
it's just
he does
like,
okay.
God, yeah. But from the highs that he was experiencing at
Red
Bull.
I don't want to watch that Drive to Survive episode.
Oh, man, super cringy, especially because he's got one of those attitudes where he's like always trying to be positive and happy, even though when you can just see in his eyes and his face that you're like, you are pissed off and sad right now,
like,
but you're like the sad clown. You're like smiling and like, hey, let's just have a good time. Can we just please all have a good time? So we can talk more about Ricciardo in a different episode, but I feel like, yeah, there's plenty to say about that. So, at this point in the race, after they go around in this formation for a while, Ocon's car poops out.
I didn't even notice.
Well, that's what caused the final safety car and bunched everybody back up.
Yeah. And then...
So Ocon is like, sacré bleu! My automobile! How do you say car in French? L'automobile. Mon loto, sacré bleu. He said something like that on the radio.
I took 7 years of French.
I know. See, that's what happens when you take French. You don't actually learn French.
That's true. Well, then, anyway. So he's gone. And then
ma voiture est en panne.
Yeah, that's. I remember that. Voiture.
That's my car is broken, very poorly pronounced.
Okay. I can say
ma
it in Spanish.
Voiture est en panne. Okay, say it in Spanish.
I was hoping you wouldn't. Mi carro no funciona.
Mein Auto ist kaputt.
Oh, cute. German is just the cutest.
Well, you're the first person to ever have that take about
kaput.
German. Kaput? Yeah, kaput.
Is that
the
is
German
adorbs.
Word for broken.
I know, love it.
Yeah.
I love German.
I do too. I'm a Germanophile, as you know, as is well documented on the pod.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm a sim racer, by the way, and I like German culture and the language and, cars and stuff.
Safety car.
So the safety car comes out because Ocon's car poops out.
And Ferrari's like...
And, oh no, this is... Yeah, and then Ferrari's like, how can we mess up the race... Even more.
Yeah.
Oh, we mess up the race again.
That's better.
That's better. That was better. I felt that
that's
one.
Solidly.
Oh, we mess up the race. You have to do the hand motion. It helps. They're like, Carlos, you pit. Charles, not so much.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, right. They're like, that's the part that got smudged on my notes, and I don't know what we're supposed to do with you.
Oh, no, safety car. What do we do? Let's see. Hundreds and hundreds of races before, you always pit under safety car. Our driver is in the lead, and there is safety car. But maybe we leave him out.
Yeah, that was ambitious. You kind of had to go along there.
Yeah, and so, yeah, thank you. Are you talking about me or Charles?
Your accent.
Oh, I held it. I stuck with it. So anyway, so safety car comes out. Sainz pits from second. Hamilton pits from third. And miraculously and mysteriously, for absolutely no reason whatsoever, Leclerc just doesn't pit. They just don't call him into the pit. I did see that Binotto made some excuse for this after the race, saying that they didn't have enough time to call them both in. But
I guess
nobody else has said anything close to that. Like, I don't think that's the case.
I came into this earlier this race being like, there's still like smoldering embers of like a championship fight here. Like, and I know maybe that's crazy of me to think, but I was like, I still felt like Leclerc should have been their priority, like,
oh, for
clearly
sure.
And like, yeah, who's getting like, and so it was just very frustrating to me, because, and with like Max falling back, it was just a good opportunity for Charles to get points and
right,
pull,
right.
You know, and it just was turned into ash.
Yeah it was like if the championship fight was like a campfire.
Yeah, that's
it was in that
was
stage
there.
Where it would like, it looked like it was out, but if you like there's put your
little,
hand on it, it would be really, really hot and you could
ember.
Like blow on it,
yeah.
And it would start back up again.
Yes.
That's where the championship fight was.
And then
Ferrari,
Matteo Binotto just like
dumped a bucket of water on it.
Yes.
And stirred it like you're supposed
sand.
To.
And Smokey the Bear was like,
Smokey
good
the
job.
Bear. Yeah, Smokey the Bear would have been proud.
Yes.
Stir and what does he say? Stir and drown again. Smokey the Bear. Yeah.
Oh.
Drown your campfire. Stir and drown again. You don't remember that from being a kid?
No, I don't.
Well, I don't trust you around campfires anymore.
You probably shouldn't.
No, I don't. I didn't trust you around campfires before this conversation. Yeah. Anyway. So, Sainz and Hamilton come back out in second and third, and Charles is like, WTF, mate. And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to... nope, that wasn't it. They're like, you're going to have to keep them behind, is the thing. They have fresher soft tires, and you have old hard tires, and you're just going to have to just keep them behind you. And Charles goes, that's going to be hard.
Yes, he did say that.
Yeah.
And then they go on the radio to Sainz, and they're like, hey, give Charles like 10 car lengths and try to keep Hamilton behind. And Sainz is like, LOL, no.
I know. I love that about Carlos. Carlos is stone cold. I'm a Carlos Sainz fan, because Carlos is like, Ferrari is one of those teams that just thinks they're bigger than everyone. And they are, to some extent, you know, like, we're bigger than any individual driver. We're Ferrari. And Carlos is like, you are not bigger than me. I'm Carlos Sainz.
I know. Charles is like, he's
a company man.
Yeah, he is.
He rolls it. He lays down for Ferrari.
Needs to,
and Carlos is like, I'm Spanish. I don't do that. I'm swarthy.
Mm. Okay.
And what's the word I'm looking for? Like Latin.
Fire,
he's got that
fiery.
Latin.
That's a little stereotypical.
They say that about themselves.
Okay. Well,
I mean,
then they can say that about themselves.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Anyway. So yeah, exactly. So just to kind of put a little bit finer point on what you were talking about in the safety car restart, you have to leave maximum 10 car lengths gap between you and the car in front of you. Right? You cannot get farther than 10 car lengths.
Yeah, they're like, give him all that space.
Yeah, and so it was Leclerc, Sainz, Hamilton, and Sainz, naturally, because he wanted to win the race because he's a race car driver, was staying really close to Leclerc, because as soon as Leclerc took off, Sainz could take off and they could go race, and Sainz could try to win. And Ferrari, like you said, was like, hey, why don't you just like Yeah, not that, raise Charles.
That's easy command to not do too, though. I feel like it's not like being like, no, I'm not gonna swap or something like really like right. black and white. It was like, oh, okay, no, I yeah. didn't do it. I don't know.
It was kind of funny too because I've listened to that radio several times, rewatching the race or rewatching that part of the race, and Sainz was really adamant, and he was like, no, stop inventing. Which was like, I don't know what he meant by that. Like, it was kind of cute because like their English, neither one of their English was very good. Yeah, and they right. were kind of arguing with each other.
Yeah.
And he said, stop inventing. I think he meant like, stop trying to like manufacture a win for Charles or whatever. Mm. But anyway, so that's what he said. Stop inventing.
I love
that. Yeah.
I love ESL English.
Yeah.
That sounds like, condescending, I guess.
I know. Oh, it's so cute.
But no,
they're
it's
trying.
Just like it's no. It's no, more like it's interesting. Like sometimes I'm like, that's a good way to say yeah. something. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah. So the safety car starts. The safety car restart happens, and there is just absolutely bananas racing to the end.
Hoo boy.
Where. First of all, Sainz takes Leclerc. Leclerc makes a mistake, and Sainz takes Leclerc. And then Perez is battling Hamilton, and Perez pushes Hamilton off track. And then Hamilton comes back at Leclerc. I mean, Hamilton comes back at Perez. And then because Leclerc fell back from Sainz, it's like Perez versus Leclerc versus Hamilton. And they're all bunched up together. And so Alonso and Norris are like sneaking up behind. And at one mm-hmm. point there's five cars all within like right next to each other.
It was wild.
Sainz benefited from all of this because all the cars behind him were fighting each other and Sainz kind of just pulled away. And this is when the race was decided for Sainz. But absolutely crazy racing where, you know, Leclerc overtook Hamilton re-overtook Leclerc. Perez overtook Hamilton and then Hamilton re-overtook Perez. And there's just super, super, super exciting race. One thing I'm interested to get your opinion on is there was a lot of like borderline people pushing each other off the track a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, you know, that's been kind of like a point of contention over the last couple seasons. And it was like Perez, like undoubtedly pushed Hamilton off. Like Leclerc smashed into Perez at one point in the race. Hamilton probably pushed Perez off at one point. Like, do you have thoughts about that? Is it at this point, is it kind of just like we're being too sensitive?
Rubbin's racing. I mean, no, I guess I'm not really, as someone who doesn't really know what the regulations are right. or like how racing like works. I can't really speak to all that, but I do want to mention that, there was some talk early in the season about like, oh, like Max doesn't drive against Charles like he did against Hamilton.
I wonder why.
Yeah, as if like, oh, right. Everybody's, you know, just... hey, they have bad blood or whatever. But right. He did. I mean, when it comes down to it, like that's just how Max is going to drive, and that's how he drove today.
Yep.
So against Leclerc.
Yeah, and Max had done that to Leclerc in Austria in 2019. He just was like, boop, I'm coming through. And just smashed him out of the way.
So, I mean, it was thrilling racing. I don't think anyone would be like, oh, what happened was not good or whatever, yeah. right? I mean, it was great.
Yeah, I mean, you know how bad people take, you know, things the worst absolute possible way.
Yeah, what do you think?
I think that it is important that you are not allowed to push other people off the track, and they should regulate that more consistently. Now, I also think that because of the way the stewards are organized, like there's different stewards at every race mm-hmm. and those stewards are local.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're never, ever going to have consistent application
sports,
of the rules.
You know?
Right. And it's kind of like what I was thinking about earlier, actually, when I was putting Maddie to bed, is I was like, all these people who think that there's some kind of conspiracy against Hamilton or a conspiracy for Max, and it's like, oh, they don't punish Max, but they do punish other people and blah, blah, blah. It kind of reminds me of the 9/11 conspiracy theorists who are like, so what you're telling me is that all of these different stewards from all over the world who speak all different languages and don't know each other and live, like, some of them live in Abu Dhabi and some of them live in Northampton, England, you know, but they've like gotten together, you know, and they've like conspired and they're like, you know what we should do as stewards? We should just F over Lewis Hamilton.
Right.
Because like he's black. And then like all of them together are like in on it. And they, and they're not only in on it, but they're like keeping it a well-kept secret, you know, like nobody has said anything about it or like come out. Like, it's like, come on.
I mean, you should be able to look at the statistics and be like, oh, he's getting punished more or something. I don't know.
Maybe someone has, I don't know, but.
Well, no, I think like, I don't know. It's just people see patterns, you know, they see, it's just like that bias. Like,
recency bias.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Hamilton has been crashy in the past and push people off track and done shady things. Race, they're racing drivers. They all have done shady. That's what racing drivers do. So that's what I think about it.
Okay.
What, there was something else I was going to say. Oh, that does remind me that there's, remember when Hamilton sent Max to hospital last year?
Yeah.
That turn is called Cops, where they just make a really fast right-hand turn and they like basically don't even have to lift. They're just flat out through the right-hand turn. Everybody still today is like, it was Hamilton's fault. It was Max's fault. I'm going to kill you and all of your family, you know, because that's how people are on the internet. Well, Hamilton went through Cops twice today, side by side with Leclerc. Safely, neither one of them wrecked. And then Hamilton threw heavy shade at Verstappen after the race because he was like, yeah, that Leclerc sure is a good racer. I went through Cops twice with him, no incident. What do you think about that? You know, like he was very directly
another campfire in the next site.
But this wasn't a campfire. This was like a blazing inferno tire fire.
He's like pouring gasoline onto it and laughing
from a helicopter about like dump. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. And so that happened. And then of course the difference is, I mean, whatever, this is so nitpicky. It doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway, we're talking long enough.
Signs
ends up winning first ever victory for Carlos.
And then,
Vamos is what he says.
Cute.
Perez got second, which is crazy because at one point he was in like 17th and then he just kept fighting his way back up and then got really lucky at the safety car.
And then
Hamilton got third.
Hamilton on the pod.
Hamilton's 13th consecutive podium at the British Grand Prix, which is a record.
I know. He, like, of course he's on the podium. He's just gotta be.
No other driver in the history of Formula One has ever had 13 podiums in an event except for Lewis Hamilton.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
He's really good.
Legend,
yeah, for sure.
Leclerc in fourth.
Yeah, I don't really remember what happened after.
He got fourth. I know that because in the Max ends up seventh, so it's like who even.
Fernando was fifth. Lando was
sixth.
Yeah,
he was getting Max really close to Leclerc at the end. Like there was a little something going on there.
Mick Schumacher, you may have heard of him. Yeah, his first ever Formula One points. Good for him. And K-Mag was 10th, so double points for Haas. I was going to get to that because we have a Haas section. Okay. We'll get to that in a second. I have a bumper for it.
Okay.
Another little Hamilton stat, while we're on Hamilton stats, is that he has won a race in every single one of his seasons in Formula One so far, which is nuts.
I remember them saying that during the race, and I was like, see.
Mind blown.
Well, I was like, that's why when there was that poll about like Mercedes is gonna win, will Mercedes win a race this season? I was like, well, we've got to because Hamilton's got to win a race. And then like hearing that said, I was like, see, he that's what he does. He wins races.
This is the farthest Hamilton has ever been in a season without winning.
Yeah,
10 races. So that just goes to show you again how legendary he is. And he has not always driven for the best team and he has not always driven for a dominant Mercedes team. But anyway, this is our Haas bumper. I guess. Nice. I haven't really come up. I think maybe the country bumper should be the Haas bumper.
Yeah, I agree. This is not what I think of. I guess it's like bass slapping. There's something there.
No, it's not. I didn't do that on purpose.
I didn't like it.
Okay. Sorry. So double points finish for Haas. That's pretty much it. Otherwise, pretty anonymous race. K-Mag managed to not wreck into Lewis Hamilton this week. Mm. Oh, another thing that was kind of newsworthy about the Haas race is that Max ended up way back racing Mick towards the end.
That's right.
And Max was just like, fuck you. And like, it was the very last lap of the race. Like, but Max was like, I know, like, one of you is going to get eighth. One of you is going to get ninth. Like, just please don't wreck into each other. And Max is like, God, you will not pass me.
Yeah, Max was like, I'm so scared.
I know. And I was nervous because Mick is not exactly the most experienced driver in wheel-to-wheel combat. And so when Max was like aggressively defending, you got the full Max. He got the full Max treatment for sure.
Yeah.
And I was very nervous that Mick was just going to boop, oh God, and then send them both, you know. So.
I thought it was also funny during the race, during the red flag, they were just showing Mick sitting on the wall, and you're like, who's that?
Oh, I know. That was the weirdest thing. Cause
it's like Mick Schumacher.
It's one of those moments where you're kind of like,
you get a haircut?
Yeah. It's like when you say the word fork, but it doesn't sound like a word all of a sudden. You know what I mean? When you're like fork. And then you're like, yeah, you're like, wait, is that a word? Is that the word I'm thinking of? Fork, 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 fork. And the more you say it, the more you're like,
yeah.
My brain was doing that.
Okay.
I was like, because I looked at him and I'm like, oh, there's Mick. And then I'm like, well, that's not Mick. It's someone else. But he's wearing Mick's clothes and he's sitting there next to Mick's car, but it's not Mick. That's weird. And I wonder why it kind of looks like Mick, but it's definitely not Mick. And then, it was very weird.
He did look a little different.
He cut his hair shorter. Cut his hair shorter. That was one thing. But he's also one of those people like me, because I have a broken nose, who kind of looks different from the left side than the right side. Mm-hmm. So like if you turn to the left, you get like one profile. And if you turn to the right, you get a different profile. Yeah. I look different from different sides for sure. And so maybe Mick's got a little bit of that going on. But anyway, so that happened.
Yep.
Mick Schumacher, first points. Now he only needs 12,644 more to match his dad.
Yeah, right.
I'm just joking. I have absolutely no idea how many points his dad scored in Formula One, but it's sure is a lot. That's pretty much it. That's all I got. We should do the rankings real quick. Do you have anything else you want to say about the race before we kind of just move on?
No.
Oh, let's rate it. What do you rate this race? Is this a 10?
It was a good race. 9.
Is it kind of like grading a paper where you're like, I can't give you 100?
Yeah, I actually, as someone who does grade papers, I don't give 100s.
I give 100s all the time.
Well, I do for homework, like daily grades. Yeah, I do.
But like paper papers. Like,
but like the big
papers.
Final paper, you're not getting 100.
No, that is a peak behind
You're getting
the
a 97.
Yeah, not even a 98.
Well, I need to work on my rubric.
Okay, well,
anyway.
This is the last thing I want to talk about right now. I'd rather smash my head through the window.
Okay.
Max Verstappen leads the championship 181 points over Sergio Perez's 147. Charles Leclerc is in third with 138. So how many points
is that? Wait, say it again. I'm sorry. I was
181, Max. I know. So you're thinking about school. That's why you shouldn't ever talk about school ever again for the rest of your life. Max has 181. Charles has 138.
47?
No, that's not right. 44. Why are we so bad at math? 43. We're English teachers, by the way, if you haven't figured that out. Not
I'm
math teachers. Yeah.
Checo's
still in second, but it's kind of funny because Checo's in second place. He has 147 points, but everybody knows he's not going to win the championship. So it's kind of like, everyone's like, Max is leading the championship over Charles Leclerc. And it's like, Charles is in third.
Yeah,
Perez is like, hey, okay.
No.
Cuando? How do you say what about me in Spanish?
I should know that.
How do you say put some respect on my name in Spanish?
Ponale. respecto en mi nombre.
But you have to say put some respect on my name. Put some respect.
Algunos. Ponle algunos respecto.
And you have to start the sentence by saying entonces.
I apologize for my bad Spanish.
Okay. Lo siento. That's what you mean, I think.
Matt.
Carlos. Carlos Sainz.
Mm-hmm.
Is in fourth place. He's got 127 points.
Oh my god, he has almost as many points as Charles. Leclerc.
Yeah. George Russell, gorgeous George, our hero who saved Guan Yuzhou's life today.
Wow.
I mean, they should just like basically induct him into the Formula One Hall of Fame, which may or may not be a thing.
Probably not.
Today. Before the sun goes down in Britain, which it already has. George is beating Lewis Hamilton, fifth place for George, sixth for Lewis.
Even without finishing the race today?
Yep, 111 to 93 points. And then another British driver, Lando, who I really like Lando. I say that every week, but I'm just going to say it again. And Lando's got 58, seventh place, and then Valtteri Bottas.
Okay.
What do you think about Bottas showing his butt all the time?
I mean, I'm generally a fan of people just like being like, what, this is my butt.
Yeah.
You know, just not being bothered.
It reeks of like Northern European, like kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to get naked and walk around and in the snow.
He does it because he's in the sauna or whatever. He's not just like
one of the times he was just like laying in a river.
Yeah. He was swimming in a mountain lake. You have to be naked when you do that.
I was just about to say, I've been in some rivers before, and no, never naked.
Well, you're like a little Puritan.
Yep. Esteban Ocon is ninth, and Fernando Alonso is 10th. And they have 39 and 28 points, respectively. K-Mag is in 11th, all right, K-Mag.
Okay.
Yeah, and then on and on from there. Yeah,
that's not even.
Red Bull leads the Drivers' Championship, 328 points to Ferrari's 265 to Mercedes' 204.
Okay.
So, but no one really cares about the
Constructors. How many more races do we have left? Are we like halfway through?
We're not even halfway through.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there are 22 races this year, I think. We are on number 10, so we still have Austria next, and then France, Hungary, Belgium, then Max's race in Dutchland, and then Italy, Russia, Singapore, Japan, Austin, Mexico, Brazil, and Abu Dhabi.
What a just circus world.
It is kind of like a circus. Really, the craziest thing.
Everywhere.
I know. Formula One.
Except for Africa.
Speaking of school, and this is absolutely the last thing I'm going to say about school, because I don't want to have to replace the window that I'm sitting next to. It starts in one school year and finishes and then like goes through the whole summer and like finishes like almost at the Christmas break of the next school year. Mm-hmm. It's a long season.
It is a long season.
Like Christmas break happens and then the cars get released in February and you're like, yay, Formula One's back. And then the season goes and goes and goes. Then they take the summer break and then they come back and then they race and race and race. And the season ends in November.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
which is great. I'm not saying it's bad,
but they work for it.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. The mechanics who travel around doing all the hard behind the scenes grunt work for no glory don't get paid a lot, probably.
Yeah, I bet they don't.
And that's actually a talking point. We're not going to go into it today because we've been talking a lot, but like they're like quitting and stuff.
I wonder
and
if
like,
they get, well, everyone's quitting, the great resignation.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be mechanics.
That'd be fun.
I wonder if they get,
I could be the tire changing guy.
Yeah, I want to be the tire blanket.
Just lay there and it cuddle up in it.
Yeah, like she's asleep again.
Caitlin is napping in the tire blanket again. Like, we gotta fire her. This is the first time someone's ever been fired for napping in the tire blanket.
I'm not gonna do it anymore. I wonder if they get time to like explore the
cities and stuff. Cities, they do, yeah, a little bit. It depends on the race, but they're
appealing.
It's a part of it. Like, they're intentionally given like, okay, you get this night out on the city, because like otherwise it's like they would just all kill each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's a part of it. But really, seriously, like, there used to be where if you got a job in Formula One, that was your career, and you were in Formula One for like 20, 30 years or whatever, because it was like, why wouldn't you be paid well, travel the world, race cars, blah, 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 glamour, glory, all that. And nowadays, people are coming and going from these Formula One teams like, oh, I graduated from college, I worked for Formula One for a while, and then I moved on to like a real engineering job. Well, then you have a
family.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't have a, I mean, it'd be hard to have a family and be like gone for like 10 months out of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Or just even like 6 weeks at a time. Just be like, sorry, babe, I got to go to Bahrain and then Saudi Arabia and then Australia and then Italy and then I'll be back.
Right.
For a few days.
And yeah, then like the drivers can just like fly their girlfriend out or whatever and they like hang out. But you can't do that if you're like a mechanic.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's about it. I kind of wasted the bumper on.
I don't have any more.
I don't think so. Yeah, no,
let's
I don't.
Let's hear that funky bass line.
All right. This will lead us out. Thanks for podding with me. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. Follow us on Twitter at Formula Fun Pod. Not gonna. No promises on the tweets.
Nor podcasts. We're trying. I mean.
Yeah. Anyway, see you later. Have a great day.